Coach, I know you're trying to figure this all out on your own. You're investing in your own learning on your own time because you want to show up for your teachers in the best way possible. Building your coaching program is a huge challenge, and it's even more difficult when you're asked to know about literacy practices and how to support them. That's why I created the Confident Literacy Coach. This self-paced course gives you the knowledge, strategies, processes, and downloadable tools that you need to be confident in your coaching work every single day. The new update to the reading and writing modules includes information about literacy that will help you grow your school's practices and grow your students into skilled readers and writers. Check it out at confidentliteracycoach.com and stop reinventing the wheel. Have you felt like you've provided all the PD, you've facilitated all the PLCs, and you've had all the conversations, but your teachers are still stuck? If your teachers are resistant to instructional change or having trouble implementing new things, it might look something like this. They're still using outdated practices that we know don't work. They fight every PLC to cling to their favorite lessons or strategies. You see evidence of poor instructional methods everywhere despite having provided tons of PD in better practices. And kids aren't learning and the same kids are at the bottom of the data chart every single time. Does this sound familiar? To literacy coaches who are committed to helping students grow as readers and writers, this is especially frustrating. That's why I created a free webinar for literacy coaches, but really any coach can value from it. It's all about helping teachers embrace new practices and try out something new, even when they're not excited about it. We'll learn why teachers resist change, how to help teachers feel secure and ready to try something new, and my favorite strategies and methods to encourage choice while expecting and holding them accountable for trying new things. I'm so excited to share this information with you that I created a free download that you'll get when you grab the free pre-recorded webinar at buzzingwithmissb.com/shift. Grab it today. It's totally free and it will make such a difference in your coaching. Welcome to Instructional Coaching with Miss B, where we believe that every teacher deserves a coach and every coach does too. I'm Chrissy Beltran, an elementary teacher who became a coach, and I had to create my own coaching program that worked. Now I teach coaches how to design their coaching programs, build a school-wide action plan, and use differentiated strategies to support teachers. Plus, I've got a special spot in my heart for literacy coaches. Now let's dig into the episode. Hey, Coach, and welcome to episode 193, Working with Administrators Who Don't Know the Role of a Coach. One of the first things you'll have to figure out when you're establishing your role as an instructional coach is how to work with your administration. And admin sets a course for the school and creates priorities, whether they're intentional and well thought out or not. So I want you to really listen to this episode to think about the opportunities that you have to work with your administrator in different ways and really define that role clearly. This is an episode in our school leadership and culture series, because I think that whenever we're working with admin and we're trying to figure out what our school should be and what our role should be within that school, we really have to be thoughtful about that process. And so I have a guest that I'm going to have on with me today to talk about this. It's going to be Nicole Turner, and I'm really excited to welcome her today. But before we do, I want you to remind me, nope, you don't have to remind me of, did anybody used to watch that that chef, the Cajun cook? He was on PBS, and he used to say, "I'm glad for you to see me." That's what that just sounded like. Okay, anyway, I wanted to remind you that I have my instructional coaching startup. The waitlist for that course is open, and you can get 15% off when the course opens by joining the waitlist. So if you go to buzzingwithmissb.com/startup today, you can get your 15% coupon that you can use when the course opens very soon. And that's a pretty good deal because the course is already priced pretty nice. Okay. So before I get ramble any further about PBS shows that I used to watch with my mom in the 90s, let's welcome Nicole to the podcast. Welcome back, Nicole.
Hey, hey. Thank you so much for having me back. This is one of my favorite podcasts out there in the podcast coaching world.
Well, thank you so much for being here. You have been, I think, our most repeated guest, and we always get requests to have you back. So I'm glad that you were able to join today. But just in case anybody does not know, I would love to let you introduce yourself really quickly with just a couple of questions. Who do you help and how do you spend most of your time and energy at work?
Okay. So I'm Nicole Turner. Mm-hmm. I have the company Simply Instructional Coaching. It's a blog or whatever. I am an author with Solution Tree. My book is called Simply Instructional Coaching as well. So who do I help? I help instructional coaches and principals implement instructional coaching, like create that culture, actually get some work of coaching done. And we kind of do it in a simple fashion, I guess, through the simple blueprint. And so that's kind of who I help. And what was the second question, Chrissy?
How do you spend your time and energy at work?
Oh, how do I spend my, I spend most of my time texting you. And saying, does this sound right? Should this be what I'm doing? I'm so lost and confused. I need coaching. No, I spend a lot of time working now. It's crazy, but I spend a lot of time on the road, in schools now, in districts, training them on the blueprint, and doing embedded coaching with coaches. So I've been traveling from, let's see, Connecticut, New York. I did some Florida, Texas, Ohio. I've been to Cali. Next month I get to go to Washington, I mean to Seattle, and work for some schools there. So I'm just traveling the world. I'm spending a lot of time collecting frequent flyer miles and writing the new book, the new version of the Simple Blueprint. And speaking at conferences, that's some of the big things we have.
I know you collected lots of miles when you came to my city, El Paso.
Oh, yeah.
There is no straight way to get to El Paso. You have got to go through something else.
Yes, ma'am. But I absolutely loved and enjoyed spending time with you and Evie and Annie and your husband. It was fun. So now I have to come back just on us kicking it and not so much business.
All right. I love it. So my other question, getting to know you question, is what is your favorite TV show of all time?
I don't know if I could say all time. You know, I go through all time. Okay. So let's break this down. Mm-hmm. All time is hands down the Golden Girls. I am an absolute Golden Girls fan. And I told you, like, so my daughter is in Florida. For all of you who don't know, my daughter is in school in Miami. And so in, we went there when she became my soror, when she crossed the AK. They had the pop-up cafe, Golden Girls pop-up cafe. Yeah. And I got to go there and eat. And the food was not great, but the experience itself was amazing. And so it was so fun. And I got to, like, sit on the couches and you know, all that. So,
I love that.
All-time favorite. That would be, but the last few years, I mixed in the entire 90 Day Fiancé franchise. So, like, I know you talk about us all the time. So it's like I'm definitely doing the, you know, Come Here to America, The Other Way, The Single Life.
Oh my gosh.
They just had one that was the 90 Day, Last Resort. So, like, and a couple broke up and got divorced there, like two couples did.
Shocking.
Like, crazy. So those are my two
more often.
Yes, those are my two things, as far as like TV shows that I just kind of put on. A lot of time they're like in the background, like when I'm working or something like that.
Yep. All right, thank you for sharing those gems. So people can look it up. And I want to talk to you today about some work that you've been doing. I think you've been doing a lot of thinking and working around this topic of administration and the role of a coach. And whenever the administration doesn't really know the role of a coach. And we've talked about this before, how, you know, we've gone to do workshops with schools and we've talked to coaches and we work with coaches, but sometimes the main problem isn't so much the coaching as the administrator who maybe hasn't set that coach up for a successful role and doesn't really have that culture established at their school. So how does administration impact the role of a coach? What are your thoughts on that?
So the administration sets the stage, right? So, like, I've always, well, what my experience is, the last year and a half I've been on the road, just coming and going to all these different schools. And what I'm learning is, like, districts are like, yes, our coaches need training. So I get there and I do, like, you know, a full 2 days of working with those instructional coaches. And then like a few weeks later, I get a call back and it's like, hey, we need you to come back and train our principals. And it's like, oh, wow. Like, yes. The reason is that our instructional coaches are going to actually implement the strategies, right? We're teaching them, you know, how to provide strategic support. We're teaching them how to do coaching cycles and professional development, and kind of how to align some of their work. But the missing component is that the principal is not supporting that particular role, or they don't understand instructional coaching if they've never been one, or they don't know how to create a culture where coaching is not a punitive thing, but mm-hmm. instructional coaching becomes more of a thing where it's the norm, where everyone gets coached. And so the administrator's role is very crucial in making sure that they create the culture, because they lead the culture, right? They build the culture. And so if the culture is, hey, everyone here gets coached, then most teachers are going to say, okay, we're all, you know, we're all going to get coached. Now, are there going to be some resistant teachers? Of course. Are there going to be some people that are skeptical of what's going to happen? Where is, you know, where is my boundaries? Like, where is the privacy? Like, you know, the trust with the coach versus, like, even though the coach is working with the principal, because the coaches, you know, have that fine line. We always talk about, like, right. they're like on that really fine line, that fence a lot of times, where it's the instructional coach and the administration, and then it's the instructional coach and the teachers, and they kind of mm-hmm. go back and forth, but really building that trust in those relationships. But one thing that we lack, we talk about building the relationship and trust with teachers, but we never talk about building a relationship and trust with our administrators.
That's right.
And so that's important as well, because now I've seen some administrators that micromanage their coaches, or they are requiring their coaches to come in and, you know, give me all the information of like what's happening, you know, like that. So really building that boundaries and that trust with your administration, where, you know, you guys are collaborative, and then allow the coach to then go and do the work, and support that instructional piece. And then letting principals understand that instructional coaches are a part of their instructional leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so when we look at principals saying, okay, they are, you know, I'm an instructional leader, and they think that their only instructional leader is them going to do walkthroughs. And it's like, no,
yeah,
your instructional leader is also working. Your leadership is you being able to lead and work with your coach to implement an instructional coaching program that creates a culture where everyone feels as though they can grow, and build teacher efficacy. And so that's the overall picture of where the principal kind of fits into the instructional coaching world.
Yes, I love that. And I think that we have so many administrators who, you know, maybe they were not coached themselves as teachers. Maybe they didn't spend that long in the classroom. Maybe mm-hmm. there are lots of reasons for it, but they don't always understand the role of the coach, right? And then, so this mm-hmm. coach is trying to do the job, but then there are all these factors that keep getting in the way, usually, of them actually doing their job. So what are some of the consequences that we might see when an administrator doesn't know what the role of the coach is?
Oh, the consequences, mm-hmm. Coaching doesn't work, yes, right? You have
much.
Such a disjointed culture inside mm-hmm. of your building. Principals become frustrated. Coaches become Olivia Pope. Right? Because that's the big mm-hmm. thing, where they just become the person who puts out the fire for yes. everything. They become the, I'm just going to do the data reports, or I'm just going to cover the classroom. They become the sub all the time. Mm-hmm. I know sometimes they're, you know, we have it where we may have to go into a classroom every now and then, right. and that's understandable, but I shouldn't be teaching every day. Otherwise, mm-hmm. I should just be in the classroom.
Right.
But yeah, so the biggest consequence is the lack of the coach being able to do his or her role. And that's the biggest consequence that you can have, where you don't see the growth in your teacher efficacy, because I really believe that that's the biggest part of our role as instructional coaches, is that we build that teacher efficacy mm-hmm. With our teachers. I mean, we're supposed to build their toolkits. We're their external eyes and ears to help to build that efficacy part of that. And then that leads to the stronger student success,
Yeah, I totally agree. I know that a lot of the coaches that I've worked with, they are told to, you know, there's everybody has lots of responsibilities, like you mentioned, but sometimes that takes over all of your time. And so you never get to that one-on-one coaching. You do the whole, you know, whole school stuff, PD, you do the PLC meetings, you do the data, you do all this stuff, but then you don't get to the one-on-one coaching because the principal probably possibly doesn't value that or doesn't even realize it's not possible that that can happen with the amount of other things that they've given you to do.
Right.
They just don't even know what should be happening. And so then there's no culture of coaching. Like you mentioned in the beginning, the idea that everybody should be coached. Every teacher deserves a coach. We all need to be growing as teachers. And whenever we have things set up in such a way that maybe you only help struggling teachers or you only help the teachers that the principal has decided is struggling and they're directed, directing you, or you only work with new teachers, then you're not creating this culture of learning and growth at your school. And so that's, I've seen that a lot. And I've also seen a lot of where the principal's like, well, you go do this, but then they don't hold the teacher accountable for anything.
Yeah.
So then there's no follow through, you know? So there's all these like different ways that it can look whenever your administrator doesn't really understand the role, but it creates huge consequences and an inability for you to be effective as a coach when they don't know what your job is.
Absolutely. Right? And so that's one of the biggest things in the blueprint. And I don't know, maybe that was one of the questions you're going to ask me, but in the blueprint, we always start with a vision. Right. And so if we're following the simple blueprint, we're going to start with that setting a vision. And under that setting a vision, you would think, oh, OK, I'm just going to do. But it all goes into that shared vision for the building. Right. The shared collaboration, making sure that we create that culture, making sure that we sit down and we have those clarifying questions about what the expectation is for me as the coach. What is the expectation of you as your as the administrator, you know, what does that culture, what does that climate look like? All of that from every perspective and making sure that we, you know, utilize that. And I think that when we have coaches and we have schools that don't really understand what instructional coaching is, then that's where those things fall apart.
Okay, so I really like that you talk about having all of these things established with your admin, and that's just part of designing the role and designing the culture. How can a coach advocate for themselves with their administrators if they're like mid-year, you know, or, you know, if they're just kind of like, oh, time has passed and nothing is working, and they're kind of realizing that all of these pieces are missing?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it doesn't matter what time of the year it is. Go back to that foundation piece of setting a vision. Like, you have to go back and schedule that conversation. You have to look at what the vision is, and any principal would have set the vision of collaboration or any of that at the beginning of the year, right? They should have some type of pattern, or path or plan. A lot of times that plan is our school improvement plan that we all sit and do in August and it's due September to the state. And then like, we never look at it for the rest of the year.
Right.
I say that is one
problem.
Of the biggest things that we need to start to pull off the shelf. Right.
I agree.
And so even if it's like the middle of the year, like right now, go, you know, set a meeting with your principal and say, hey, these are the things that I have concerns about. These are the things that, you know, I want to go. At some point, a coach would have had to set some type of professional goal for the year, right? Something that they're going to be evaluated from, or at that point, like, pull that back out and have a conversation of like, this is where I want to get to. We have about like 10 weeks of school left. And so because of that, how can I, you know, what are some of the things that we can do? This is what I see. This is how I need your support. Now, one thing I want coaches to be aware of, don't go into your principal's office looking for them to create a solution. Think about already have some strategies or solutions or some ways that they can support you, or some resources that you want them to then read to be able to understand your role. If you're dealing with an administrator who has not been a coach or didn't have a coach or is new to coaching, you know, grab the Simply Instructional Coaching book and photocopy a couple of pages out that you want to have and share that with the principal. Or go on, you know, Buzzing with Ms. B blog and find a few, you know, coach or blogs that explain what your role is, highlight some of those areas, share those resources with your principal. If we're being real, they don't really have time to go look up what coaching is.
Right.
And most of the time, especially if you're dealing with a school that's within a district, the district has decided to do instructional coaching and told the principals that this is what they're doing.
Yes.
And so it's not like the principal sought out, like, this is a school improvement model that we're going to implement. Now, whether we want to believe it or not, but instructional coaching is a school improvement model, mm-hmm. right? And whether they want to believe it or not, it's a model that they need to implement, but it's only as good as its implementation.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times, that's the part that we kind of, you know, go back. I've been doing a lot of research, and you mentioned earlier, I've been doing a lot of thinking and processing, but the simple blueprint has now become aligned to the implementation science research, and really talking about that action-based instructional coaching, because we have to implement and take action. It's no longer a part of us being, you know, just sitting on the sidelines and just having conversations about what should be happening, but and coming to learn. Like, I know so many people that come and read my blog and read your blog and talk about it, but then I'd be like, so when did you implement that? Or, you know, when did you take action on it? And they haven't. So right now, if you are at a point where you're with your principal, and you haven't had that meeting, it's time to take action. And it's time to go and have that conversation, and bring resources and bring what you tell them what you need. It's kind of like being in a relationship, and then you just like not telling the person.
That's true.
You know, just whining. I have friends now, they'll call me and be like, well, my husband didn't do this. And I'm like, well, did you tell him that that's what you wanted?
Right.
Like, you know, they don't know. They don't know what you don't know.
They don't know. They don't know. Yeah. Nobody can read your mind.
Exactly. And so
the principal may not have any clue how your coaching work is panning out. They might not have any idea. They don't always know as much as you might think. You know, I think as teachers, some teachers feel like principals are like all knowing. They are not. They do not know 95% of what's going on sometimes because there's a lot of people in that building. So a lot of things are happening at the same time.
Absolutely. And then, you know, you have to realize that principals deal with instructional leadership, but they also deal with the operations.
Yes.
Right. So they're operations and instructional leaders. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the operations can overtake, like when the kid or a child ran away, or the parent did this, or or there was a fight, or there was a brawl, or, you know, all the way, community based, like, it's a big role. Mm-hmm. And supporting the instructional coach is just a piece of that bigger puzzle.
That's right. And I think that's a good point, too, that some principals just feel more comfortable with operations. They're not instructional leaders in terms of they don't have the background. And so they're going to do what they're good at, which is making schedules and, you know, all of those kinds of like things that just have to get done because that's how the school works. But they're going to invest all their energy in that. And they're just going to kind of avoid the instructional piece. And so we do see many situations with coaches where they're like, okay, well, I went in and I worked with this teacher for 3 weeks. And I modeled and we co-taught and then they know it's expected of them. But then I go back a month later, nothing is continued. And my principal hasn't been in here since before I started working with them.
Yep.
So there's like not really any accountability for follow through because sometimes, you know, we're human beings. We are going to sometimes revert to what's comfortable. And if the new thing isn't comfortable for us yet, we're going to go back to what was comfortable before, even if we liked the new thing. Even if we thought it was kind of neat, sometimes we're just like, I'm just going to do what I already know. And it's not even a conscious thought, you know? So what are your thoughts on that whenever a coach has an administrator and maybe they've even been directed to go into the classroom to work with this teacher, but then the coach doesn't follow up. So then it just kind of falls apart.
Well, that was me at the beginning of my coaching world. And what I found is that I needed to, well, first of all, my coaching was so disjointed because I didn't have a structure and I didn't have anything in place. And so that's where the Simple Core 4, where I provide the strategic support, having those pillars allowed me to then be able to have a focus when I go into the classroom. And then taking the 6-week coaching cycle, the 4 to 6 week coaching cycle, and making it a week long.
Yep, same.
Really
same.
Helped me to start to actually see some work, like drill it down to something so small that I was able to make a bigger impact, because every small thing started to build upon each other. And then it was like kind of like building a house, right? You never see the house. You never see someone just like put all the bricks up together. Right. You always see people laying the brick by brick by brick that eventually gets the house. It's those small bricks that make up the bigger picture. And so when I was coaching, I would start to transition to coach one small thing at a time and do that within a week and get a teacher set off and going, rather than to try to keep up with the same topic for 6 weeks. Like, I never got to that point. So I think that the biggest thing is that the coach needs to be real with, number one, their schedule. Number two, they also need to be the real on how they are supporting teachers. So like for me, I made a big shift at the end. It's like, well, I started, especially during COVID, because that's like the end of when I was coaching, that I started to coach teams. I started to coach within my collaborative team meetings, and then break off to coach individual teachers with the needs that they needed, some of that differentiation.
Yes.
So that's where the tier of the coaching becomes in, is that tier one is like collaboration. So like in those collaborative teams, where do I fit in there? I'm coaching, I'm supporting, I'm working with those individual, you know, I'm working with the team of teachers, but then within that I see, oh, Ms. Johnson, Mr. Taylor, like those two teachers, they need some additional support. So now I'm going to support them either one-on-one or even some small group coaching around specific topics. So if I have like 7 teachers and all 7 of them are struggling with one particular thing, why would I try to coach each individual one on the same thing? Why not be more efficient and bring those teachers together? And we do like some type of book study together.
Right. Watch or a video.
Or any of that kind of stuff. I think that is the biggest part. Like, so now it's like tier one. It's kind of like the RTI model, right? So tier one, we are coaching in our collaborative teams. Tier two, we're either doing some small group coaching around some content or individual, and then, you know, tier three are my emergency room teachers, where we gotta hurry up and stop the bleeding, get the classroom culture together, and then move into working with them on building that instruction. A lot of times we want to just work with that instructional execution and not build that organization and management and culture.
Yeah, I like that. So maybe we're missing the foundational pieces, and that's why things are falling apart, because we're putting band-aids on things. And I like your tiers too. I also have a 3-tiered system, but mine is more like it's your whole everybody gets it. It's tier one, which is your PD for everybody across the school. And then tier two is like your PLC meetings, where you're doing maybe different topics in response to that, but in different, you know, different PLC teams. And then individual coaching is like your tier three. So that's really fun.
I love that.
Yeah, I think it just helps people think about the big picture, because it can be overwhelming. And like you said, if we're just kind of randomly coaching things instead of being thoughtful about, okay, well, what is our school moving towards? We're trying to get good at signs of reading. We're trying to get good at using hands-on math lessons. We're trying to get, you know, better at using the scientific process, scientific method in science, whatever it is, that's your main focus. And then that can trickle down to different levels in different ways. So I really like coming back to that school improvement plan. And I used to do that as well. I would print out my piece, like, because I was a literacy coach. So I would print out the literacy pieces and put them in my notebook, because if not, you'd forget about it. And you've spent time getting your surveys, looking at your data, talking to teachers, setting all the goals. It's like a lot of work. And then we would just put it in a drawer. You know, if you pull it out, you have it in front of you, then you can come back to that and say, are we even getting remotely close to what we said we're going to try to do here? You know, and it can help you focus your PD. When you don't know what to do, that should help you focus your PD and your meeting topics and things. So that's great.
Absolutely.
So I love all of this. This was so excellent. I think it's going to help coaches think differently about the way that they interact with their principal and what that principal's role is in their instructional coaching. And I want to find out, how can people learn more from you? Because I'm sure that some people are going to want to look you up.
Sure. So you can go to simplyinstructionalcoaching.com, and that'll tell you a little bit of everything, kind of from bringing me to your building for individual coaching, to seeing Chrissy at the Simply Coaching Summit this summer. So any of those types of things, we have a few professional developments that are coming away. Pretty soon we're going to be adding a page, and I don't know when this will air, but hopefully by then there'll be a new page on the website that just brings everything about the blueprint. It'll be a one pager that you can just download and learn more. But I think in the show notes, we will incorporate some, we'll give you the graphic of the blueprint as well.
That sounds awesome. We can definitely put that into the show notes so people can take a peek, and definitely head over to Simply Instructional Coaching so you can sign up for the summit, like you mentioned, and all the other great stuff you have coming out. Thank you so much for being here, Nicole.
Thank you for having me back.
That was some good stuff, right? Kind of makes you think a little bit. And so I hope that you can take that information and use it to grow the culture of coaching on your campus by working with your admin. Next week, we are continuing our talk about school leadership, and we are looking at how administration can include the school leaders and instructional coaches as part of that leadership team, because you are part of setting the culture for your school. Until then, happy coaching. Now that you've got so much to think about, head over to buzzingwithmissb.com to grab some free downloads, become a VIB, and check out the podcast show notes. Happy coaching!